On tonight's show, we've got another Power 5 upset.
Another one.
And we got breaking news out of the West.
Logan Bonner's out. How will that impact Arkansas State?
And we've got our Hustle Award. We're shattering records.
And also tonight, we've got our Game of the Week. It's Louisiana versus Georgia Southern. We brought in the experts to break it down.
Roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money!
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome in to another exciting episode of the Bench Boys Podcast. I'm Colin Cahill.
I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And we are...
The Bench Boys.
Yeah, we are.
You can follow us on Twitter. We're at the OG Bench Boys. We're on Facebook.
You sound so excited. We're the Bench Boys. What's up?
You know it. I mean, they're here. That's what we're here for. It's for us.
I love it. Yeah, as he was saying, you can follow us on pretty much anything. Twitter, Facebook, everything.
We don't have an Instagram yet. We'll work on that.
Yeah, we're getting photos taken here.
That's right.
We're doing headshots.
That's right.
Also, if you're here, just hit the subscribe button. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
Hit it.
I mean, we'd prefer it if you went and listened to us, but just go ahead and hit that subscribe button.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Yeah. Then get them to do it too. We're anywhere your favorite podcasts are found. Podbean. Well, not on Podbean. Luminary. There's a thing called Podbean.
Oh my lord.
Right. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're on Anchor, we're on Stitcher, we're on iHeartRadio. Shout out. Anyway, so
it's Wednesday. It's the Bench Boys. It's the start of the show. Let's just get to it.
Out of the gate.
Well, out of the gate, I gotta say, it's not Wednesday anymore, dude.
I mean, you never know.
We could be
listening to it next Wednesday.
That's
and
true.
Then we're right.
That's true. That's true. But more than likely, it's a Thursday. More than likely, it could be a Friday. I don't know. But the point is, whatever it is, you're looking forward to the next great week of college football.
Oh, yeah.
What we're doing right now is looking back at a great weekend of college football in the Sun Belt.
Mm-hmm.
First off, let's talk about it. We got 3 Power 5 upsets this year in the Sun Belt. We got number 3.
I think this one was the most impressive.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you
could chalk the other two up to teams being down or whatever, but this is a North Carolina team that had a lot of promise. Mack Brown, it was just this team that was absolutely going places.
Yeah,
App State comes in and shuts them down.
They did have a young quarterback, but that quarterback is Sam Howell, who might be one of the best freshman quarterbacks in the entire country this year. And, I mean, he proved it there. I mean, he still had a pretty solid game. But I think just beating North Carolina was so big for App State. Like, and Mack Brown, first-year coach. But it's still Mack Brown. Mack Brown knows how to coach.
He's a 2005 national champion coach.
Mack Brown's been around the block. I mean, Mack
just
Brown
a couple times.
I mean, Les Miles wasn't even that. I mean, Les Miles still knows that. Les Miles has a national championship. So,
yeah.
Sun Belt, 2 wins over national title-winning coaches this year. I'll take that.
Let's also think about it from this perspective. Appalachian State had not won a Power 5 game since it beat Michigan in 2007. And yet, for the longest time,
they were the
quote-unquote world beaters.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted about this weekend. It was fun because I had a lot of people that were like, oh yeah, App State told you they're so good. It's like, well, I mean, they're good. They're obviously the best team in the Sun Belt right now, but just to look at how many Sun Belt teams have gotten a Power 5 win since and to know that they also weren't the first.
Yeah. Well, just going over and looking at this game, I mean, let me just blank out the stats here. And
all right.
One team had 29 first downs. Who do you think that was?
Well, it depends on what the other team had.
The other team had 16.
One team had 29, the other had 16?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with... App State having 29?
Nope.
North Carolina?
Yep. North Carolina had 29 first downs.
Wow.
Had 469 yards of total offense. 323 over the air, 146 to the ground. But guess what, Thomas? What every week we hear our experts saying one thing that you got to win one thing.
Time of possession.
Nope.
Oh. Turnovers.
There you go.
There it is. I got to it eventually.
App State won the critical turnover battle.
Yeah.
3-1.
Wow.
Yeah. North Carolina had 3 turnovers, 2 interceptions, and a fumble. And that fumble turned into 7 points. It was a strip sack. Take it all the way back.
I love that.
Yeah, there you go. I thought about that.
That's a t-shirt design right there.
There you go. Strip sack, take it all the way back. App State only had 385 total offense, which that's not a terrible game, but 224, 161. The 161 number to me kind of stands out because I know you're playing an ACC school and North Carolina has a decent D line, but App State, they want to see the 200 plateau like every game. And so the fact that they were able to win without hitting that 200-yard plateau, that's impressive. I mean, they had 35 attempts, so they're only – I mean, that was four and a half yards a gain. But Zach Thomas, again, yeah, he had one pick, but 20 of 29, I mean, not terrible, did just enough. Time of possession was pretty even, 29-30 to 30-30. That's about as even as
they get. When you get to 29 and a 30, yeah, no matter what the seconds are, that's pretty even.
Pretty even. So it was definitely turnovers, and that is like one of the keys. You win turnover battle, most of the time you have a really good chance of winning this ball game.
Absolutely.
I mean, you saw it.
How many points did they get off of turnovers? I know it was a direct 7 off of the fumble.
A direct 7. I think they got 14. I think they had 2 touchdowns off of turnovers, if I remember right. This doesn't really say.
Right, and that sounds about right, though. I mean, if you got at least 3 turnovers, you would hope to get at least 14 points off of them.
Yeah.
Or a field goal or something. But
Darrington Evans had a great game. 3 touchdowns, rushed 4. And then just the way they won the game, that was the thing that a lot of the national pundits took, was the fact that the last time they won a big game was against Michigan. What did they do in the game's final play? They blocked the field goal. This play, game's final play, to tie the ball game, block the field goal. So
it's poetry.
It is poetry. I love sports, and that's like one of the great things. The shocking thing is what you said, though. Like, they had no other. Now, they came dang close last year against Penn State.
And then the year before that against Tennessee, or two.
Yeah, I think
two
it was
years.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, just so they've come really, really close. I mean, it was only a matter of time. But I think the sweet, sweet victory music is the fact that they got to beat Big Brother in North Carolina, something that Troy and South Alabama will never be able to do because Alabama-Auburn don't want to play us. So
if you'd like to hear more about that, go 2 episodes back to our game of the week against Southern Miss and Troy. We go into that one pretty much into detail.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, we have some actually legitimately breaking news.
I mean, breaking.
Like, we literally sat down to start recording, and then before we even got to begin recording, we found out that Logan Bonner is out for the season at Arkansas State.
That changes a lot.
So much. Not like the West was pretty much a 2-horse race between Louisiana and Arkansas State. I feel like right now it's Louisiana's to win, but that remains to be seen because they've got a couple of guys stepping up into the spot that they could have had stepping up into the spot behind him. They have a system guy who is actually going to be the backup now, but they have this talented freshman who, credit to Chase Gage for telling me this, broke records in high school in Arkansas and actually went to Alabama behind Tua and Hurts and then transferred to Arkansas State and is now the starting quarterback at Arkansas State.
Well, not starting. Like we don't know yet, right? Has he been deemed named starting quarterback?
I think he has, but it will remain to be seen. We'll put out a tweet if we're wrong for some reason. But
either or, one of the two, but a lot of the insiders are picking Mr. Hatch to be the
So basically, yeah, this is huge. This guy had stepped up, and we had already been talking about him. He had stepped up, taken over for Justice Hansen, and was already doing a great job with it. It's just a huge, huge blow among so many other injuries that Arkansas State's had this year.
You know, I tweeted out earlier this week, actually, about, you know, we were talking, doing a little preview on Troy and Ark State. Logan Bonner leading the Sun Belt right now in passing yards. This guy, number one. I mean, and he has the most, well, he's second in touchdowns to Dan Ellington, but he has 10 touchdown passes to one interception, over 1,000 yards passing already.
For the season.
For the season.
And he's out after
he's out.
Four games.
This is a huge loss. This is what Troy went through last year.
Absolutely.
When you lose a guy who's, absolutely. I mean, firing all cylinders, is playing great. I mean, he's 60% completion percentage. I mean, he's got a great season going, and four games out. I think Caleb made it, what, five games last year, maybe?
Six games.
So, I mean, this is about the same thing, same way. I mean, you got a guy who makes your offense run. They have, like you just said, so many injuries at play. I mean, the backup running backs out. I mean, so many guys are out. And we'll talk about that when we get into our game.
And actually, you can, if you're listening to this right now, you can probably go over to the Trojan Wall and read my Other Side of the Wall article, where I go more in depth about that.
Yeah.
But that's my.
This is huge, though. This easily biggest injury they've had all year.
Shameless plug, but all that aside, this is the biggest. You're right. This is the biggest injury since Caleb last year.
Yeah, I mean, so. it's a huge loss, and we'll get into this coming up when we talk Troy Ark State. But now you put a guy, either a redshirt freshman or you put a redshirt senior, on maybe 2 days worth of working with ones, unless they kind of knew it on Saturday where they didn't really tell anybody Monday, Tuesday. But you're talking Thursday, maybe a full day of practice. Friday, you're traveling and you're walking. You're doing a walkthrough. Saturday, you do a walkthrough. That's it. So this midweek is not good for them. So that is astronomical news in the Sun Belt tonight. So, we're just going to jump right in to our...
I think it is. I think it's time. Let's do our Hustle Awards of the Week. Ben on Sports, Hustle Awards of the Week. And you've got one that is literally setting a record.
Yeah, literally setting records. I'm all about records. You know, last week, I think I had the volleyball coach or something like that. Last week, he broke the record for 900 wins and all that. This week, I've got Scott Watkins' favorite linebacker. Mr. Brian London out of Texas State had himself a night, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you talk about a guy that, one, right now is leading the conference in tackles, and two, decided to go out and break a record, the Sun Belt record for the most tackles in a game. 22 total tackles, 10 solo tackles in the game. The kid was all over the field. And they won the game, which that's even better. Like, you don't want to be like that Washington State kid who threw for 9 touchdowns and lost the game, because every time you're going to remember that amazing stat, oh, we lost the game. No.
Yep.
I got 22 tackles and we won the game in overtime, which is incredible. Mr. Brian London, I mean, just the kid's had a phenomenal year to begin with. You know, he's got 47 tackles on the season, which is the most, second Carlton Marshall. 22 solo, which is the most. 25 assisted, which is the most. He's averaging 11 tackles a game, which is incredible. I mean, that's if you're hitting double digits every game for tackles as a linebacker.
He is the reason that Texas State defense is supposed to be so good.
Well, we saw that firsthand last year when Troy played Texas State, just how good their linebacker core was. And he's definitely the leader of that. And then, I caught up with him at Sun Belt Media Day. So did Scott Watkins. It was a phenomenal interview, especially because just Scott was, like, so close to him. And it was just very interesting. But the Texas State people, they have a reason to be as defensive as they are about this defensive player. He proved it last night. I mean, he proved it on Saturday. It was 22 tackles is incredible. That's a tackling machine. So he gets my hustle award. Congratulations, new record. He didn't get Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Week, which was shocking. I mean, but when you go and you look at App State, he had 2 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, and a touchdown off of that.
Right, and setting a record for being the person to have the most tackles in a single game this year is a one thing, but I think the Defensive Player of the Year award is kind of geared toward somebody who played the entire field and did a whole lot more than just make tackles.
Yeah.
Which, that's not supposed to be anything against Byron London.
No.
Because he is right now probably the best linebacker in the conference.
Yeah.
By the numbers alone.
By the numbers, yes.
By the numbers alone, Texas State is right now the number one team in the conference.
They are. They are the only undefeated team in conference play.
Right as of right now.
Well, I guess all the other teams are kind of undefeated because they haven't lost. But they're the only undefeated team with a win.
Right. Zeros don't count.
Yes.
So unless there's a one next to it. Yeah. So my turn. I'm going to go a little bit further east. I'm going to go to Coastal Carolina. And there are a couple of options here. I could go with Fred Payton, who's got 203 yards in the Shants 62-28 win over UMass. I could go with C.J. Marable, who ran for 100 yards on his own. But what I'm going to go with is with the quarterback, Bryce Carpenter. Okay. He went 7-for-8 with 104 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. Then, on his own, he ran for 102 yards, didn't lose any. He didn't lose any yards. He gained 102 yards on the ground, didn't lose any. And so now he has, in that one game, 206 yards all-purpose and 2 touchdowns. Think about it this way. He ran 12 times, and he threw the ball. He was 7-of-8, so he threw the ball 8 times, ran it 12 times. Mm-hmm. That's 20. So 20 plays that he was involved with positive yardage, and he got 206 yards passing. This guy, every time he progressed the ball beyond the line of scrimmage, he at least picked up 10 yards. He at least picked up a first down on his own every time he progressed the ball beyond the goal line. That's a hustle, not the goal line, the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. That's a hustle award to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at he had 45-yard run, 7-of-8. Their quarterbacks in general were just really good.
And I mean, when you're going up against UMass.
Yeah, UMass is really bad this year. But no, I think he came in off the bench. That's a really good guy to have coming off the bench because I think Payton is their starter. But to have that coming off the bench and to get that production out of that and still have 100 yards rushing, not a bad. That's a good choice.
Thank you. I love digging through stats for this stuff. Oh, yeah. And special thanks to Ben on Sports for sponsoring the Hustle Award of the Week. You know what else is this week? Our game of the week, hashtag Know Your Enemy. Let's get to it.
Know Your Enemy.
It's my favorite part of the show, Thomas. It's the Know Your Enemy game of the week between
Louisiana and Georgia Southern.
There you go. And now we're going to brought in
two of the experts. We brought in Travis Jodden from Savannah Now, mm-hmm. and Cody Juno from ESPN 1420.
We got some real French guys on our
French
show tonight.
Well, it's that Cajun.
I don't know. Now, Georgia Southern fans, he is on your side, so don't think he's
right. Well, he covers them. He's a beat reporter for Savannah Now.
Yep.
So we got two incredibly high energy, high IQ rushing teams.
Oh, okay.
This game is going to be on the ground. What are you talking about? High IQ? What?
Both of our guys are high IQ guys. Well,
they are.
We were continuing to sell them.
Well, no, I mean, they're good. They're good. We don't need to oversell them. Our game of the week, we've got two high-powered rushing attacks. We've got the triple option threat of Georgia Southern.
Yep.
And then the triple-headed monster of Louisiana with all their stable of running backs.
Yeah.
It's basically like
it's a stable.
It is. It is. It's like the X-Men movie with Quicksilver, where they got, or not Quicksilver, yes, like him, but more like that guy who just multiplies into like different versions of him. It's probably called Multiple Man. But
you went someplace I didn't know.
I did.
I was never a fan of the X-Men.
Really?
Yeah, the first movie I like the Wolverine, you know, spinoffs, you know.
Yeah.
Those are great, but I'm more of a Deadpool guy.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't know.
That's fine.
That's not good. Okay, back on top.
Let's get back to college football. Let's toss it over now to Travis Jodden.
Georgia Southern beat writer and all things knowing Travis Jodden out of Savannah Now, if I'm correct. Travis, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, Georgia Southern's 3 games in. We're basically week 5 at this point, if you're counting week 0. Out of your first 3 games, what have you seen out of this Georgia Southern team over the first, over you guys' first 3 games?
Yeah, well, so far this season, Georgia Southern, you know, has been the polar opposite of what they were, in 2018. And I think if you ask anyone, around the program and sort of within the program, they'll say the same thing. Last season, Georgia Southern was, you know, historically good at protecting the ball. They were plus 22 in the turnover margin. That was an FBS record. Only fumbled 5 times in over 600 carries. That was an FBS record. And then they were top 25 in penalties per game. This year, you know, they are fumbling It seems like every series they fumbled 13 times already this year through three games, which is the total that they fumbled all last year. Last year they only lost five, but they fumbled 13 times. This year, you know, they're not protecting the ball. They're hurting themselves with penalties. And, you know, this year they have had a tougher slate, obviously, at LSU, who looks like a juggernaut early on. And then week three at Minnesota, who's, you know, at least a solid Big Ten school. So, you know, and then they had an FCS main team come into Statesboro in between there and played well enough to win 26-18, but not really great. And they hurt themselves in that game also with penalties and fumbles. So I think the main difference so far this year, as opposed to last year when Georgia Southern was 10-3, is the little things and kind of the hurting themselves. And this team is good. They have plenty of talent, and I think talent's enough to compete for a Sun Belt Conference title, but they certainly don't have enough talent to be able to overcome hurting themselves. Other teams are going to do enough to provide Georgia Southern with enough problems. They can't afford to provide themselves with as many problems as they have early on.
You know, we obviously Shai Wirtz is a big key in that offense, and he obviously hasn't been healthy probably since the LSU game. What is the effect that Shai Wirtz has had on the team, being on the field, being off the field?
You know, I guess that's yet to be seen. For me, you know, having seen Wirtz play every game last year and obviously seen the team play every game this year, you know, for me, it seems like there's not a lot of room for other weapons to kind of do what they do within this option offense when Wirtz is not on the field. And Justin Tomlin, his replacement so far has been solid and has been good, not great, through three games. But he doesn't offer that kind of big play threat, and he doesn't offer that kind of guy that you have to account for if you're the opposing defense. So when Wirtz plays, it really is 11 on 11, and the opposing defense has to account for Wirtz's big play ability. This is a guy that rushed for, you know, over, you know, almost 1,000 yards last season, and then, you know, 10 touchdowns he passed for last year. So when you have that kind of dual threat, that true dual threat that Wirtz is, it opens up things for guys like Logan Wright and Matt LaRoche, the running backs. And so far this year, Georgia Southern just has simply not gotten the running game going the way that it's accustomed to. And it, obviously, you know, if Georgia Southern cannot run the ball, they're in for a long season. I think when Wirtz comes back, which I expect that to be this week, things will change, but that's kind of yet to be seen. We haven't really seen them play four quarters yet.
Let's kind of get into this weekend. You know, you face a really, really good offensive, like, juggernaut, it seems like, coming out of Louisiana. They're averaging 300 yards a game. I mean, I feel like this is strength versus strength coming in this weekend. What do you got to do to stop a three-headed monster like what the Raging Cajuns have?
Yeah, this is certainly a stiff test for Georgia Southern early on. Louisiana, you know, we touched on this on our podcast, the Georgia Southern Extra podcast. We said that it really is insane to look at Louisiana's rushing numbers versus Georgia Southern's rushing numbers. Georgia Southern typically, you know, is at the top of the conference in rushing because of the offense they run. This year, Louisiana already has 18 rushing touchdowns. Georgia Southern has four. That is remarkable. 1,300 rushing yards for Louisiana already. I think Georgia Southern will be able to hold up against Louisiana's run game. But I do think that they're going to struggle if they don't get off the field on third downs. And if they don't convert on third downs, you know, it's like we just talked about, if the offense is converting, and right now they are one of the worst teams in the country at any level, on third downs offensively, Georgia Southern is 17%. Louisiana, in turn has the best third down defense, in the Sun Belt and one of the best in the country. So if Georgia Southern's going three and out, with regularity and forcing their defense back on the field, I do think Louisiana can wear down this Georgia Southern defense in the second half. But if it is kind of a hold serve game in the first half, if you will, if it is give and take, then I think Georgia Southern matches up with Louisiana pretty well.
And you know, this is the last question that we kind of ask everybody. You know, if you wake up Sunday morning and it says, you know, Georgia Southern Eagles knocks off Louisiana, if you can, you know, 3 points, what is Georgia Southern got to do, you know, this weekend in order to get the big first conference win?
Yeah, well, it sounds kind of crazy, right, to think that Georgia Southern would have to really struggle to outrush anybody. But I think, obviously, we talked about Louisiana's rushing game. I think Georgia Southern has to outrush Louisiana. They're, since moving to the FBS in 2014, they're 0-17 when they're being outrushed. So they've never won a game since they moved to the FBS where they didn't win the rushing battle. I think that's going to hold true this week. Georgia Southern needs to have more rushing yards than Louisiana, and that shouldn't be, you know, asking too much. I think if you allow Louisiana to rush for, say, you know, 175 yards, it shouldn't be asking too much to rush for more than that. And if you haven't done that, then I don't think the game is going to go well. I also think that Georgia Southern needs to be better than 30% on third downs. I think, you know, you can't have one of these games where you're 1-for-9, 1-for-10 on third downs like they have so far this season. Again, you're going to have extended drives. And then I think maybe a third thing to watch for would be the special teams game. Louisiana's kicker, I think, has missed 4 field goals this season, made 1. So if you're playing that bend-don't-break defense and you can stop them and hold them to field goal attempts, I think you win that battle, because Georgia Southern's kicker, on the other hand, is one of the best in the country, Tyler Bash. And, you know, he's pretty much lights out from inside of 50 yards. So I think, you know, win the rushing battle, convert on third downs at least at a 30% clip. That's not asking too much. And then I think maybe hold Arkansas State to field goal attempts in the red zone instead of touchdowns. Those aren't revolutionary concepts, but I think, you know, it's that simple for Georgia Southern.
So, yeah, keep it simple, I think. Well, Travis, well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I think we learned a lot about some statistics with Georgia Southern. Hopefully, you know, they can get a big – it's going to be a big week. First week of Sun Belt play, so hopefully they can get a big conference win.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how the conference shakes out. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Travis Judden. I butchered his name at the beginning. Judden.
Judden.
You can follow him and all his works on Twitter. That's at Judden Sports SMN. @JAUDON Sports SMN. He is a beat writer for Savannah now.
He broke a lot of stories. I mean, the Shy Wirt story is one of the first guys to...
He did
break that story.
I'm pretty sure we mentioned him at the when we were talking about it earlier this year.
Yeah, I think we did. We said high IQ. I think he's a very high IQ guy.
Absolutely.
I loved what he said about, you know, their third down percentage, 17% on third down this season. That doesn't bode well.
That's not good.
That's not good, especially when you're supposed to be like a running team. That means that I think I haven't seen every Georgia Southern game, but I think a lot of the teams have put them in third down and longs, and because of just how bad their running game has been, and they are not the team that's going to be able to throw it all over you.
No,
like at all. They have to rely on their run game, and they haven't had Shy Wirtz. And we talked about, you know, just their defense hasn't been playing as well, and that team has to rely on the offense being on the field longer than what the defense is, and they just haven't been able to do that this year. And so, other than Maine. But even in that game, the offense didn't really prove much. So, I really love what he brought up. The fact that the fumble, the fumble numbers that they came out, they have this year, 13 fumbles already this season.
If you're giving the ball up that many times, how many games have they done? 4?
3 and
13. So that's literally 4 fumbles a game.
Yeah, it's bad.
You're putting the ball on the turf 4 times a game.
Tough. It's going to be tough. And you know, they play a Louisiana team that comes in averaging over 300 yards rushing. You would kind of think they'd be flipped with just how – but you come in and play a Louisiana team that is going to average that much, and even his thing of saying, well, we're going to have to outrush them, that's going to be tough. And so now we're going to hear from the Louisiana side as Mr. Cody Juneau joins us. The first, second, I guess, time insider joining us again. Obviously, Cody, I guess you like us, and that's why you came back.
I don't know what that says about me. If you guys couldn't find anyone else to
I think it's the latter. You did great the first time, and that's why we had you back on. But let's get right into it. You know, you guys are four games into your season. What have you seen? Obviously, you had the big 70-point game against, I know it was a lowly kind of Texas Southern team. But what have you seen so far out of Louisiana in these first four games of the year?
Yeah, 77. Don't change the case. That's the last touchdown. I think this team has been, a pleasant surprise, specifically on the defensive side of the football. I think coming into the season, there were tons of questions. And, you know, you walk away from Mississippi State game and, you know, Kyle Hill, who I think we all believe is going to play on Sundays, but, you know, they run the ball for almost 200 yards, and you're thinking, okay, here we go again. And then Liberty takes the opening kickoff, and they go right up and down the football field to score a touchdown. But since that point, you know, until late in the third quarter, when Ohio scored a touchdown, the Cajuns up until that point, if they could have closed out that quarter, would have gone nine straight quarters without surrendering a touchdown. So I think that, you know, so I finished up, they went eight straight quarters without surrendering a touchdown to Liberty for Texas Southern in the first half against Ohio. So for me, that's been, you know, I think one of the more pleasant surprises. They've had some injuries along the offensive line, and they have not skipped a beat, which I think has been good to see. We knew about the skill players outside. You know, you've had a core group of tight ends who, in fact, a pair of which in Pierce Spiegel and Hunter Burton were actually awarded scholarships by Billy Napier on Wednesday night. Actually, the 16th walk-on that Coach Napier and his staff have given scholarships to, but that tight end group led by Nick Ralston, mm-hmm. who's had a freshman, and Dale Johnson step up there. I think, you know, I look at it, those things have been the biggest surprises to me. You know, what's not surprising is what the Cajuns ground game is doing, and how it continues to just kind of, you know, be the bread and butter that we thought it was going to be.
You know, before we get talking about this week, I mean, I'm looking at the schedule here, and you're four games in, but I think this is probably going to be the most grueling part of your schedule these next 3 weeks. You go Georgia Southern, you're at Georgia Southern, you get App State at home, and then you're on the road against Ark State. I mean, those are three tough weeks. How do you think a team kind of approaches a 3 week span like that when you're going to be taking on the upper echelon of the conference of Sunbelt?
Yeah, don't forget that, you know, that kind of started last week on the road at Ohio. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't know who Billy Napier made mad, but whatever he needs to do, he needs to apologize because it's absolutely brutal, the stretch that the Cajuns are going to play. And one of the things you didn't mention there is that App State's actually on a Wednesday night. Now, that one is at home. But then you turn around the next Thursday and you go to Arkansas State. Now, how does that game look differently with the news concerning Logan Bonner? You know, that remains to be seen a couple weeks down the road. But, yeah, you talk about the top teams in the West. You talk about a team in Georgia Southern that won 10 games a season ago. And then, you know, all App is the defending Sunbelt Conference champions. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, the Cajuns have never beaten in the six times that they played. And their first off a win against an ACC foe. So, yeah, happy hunting, Cajuns.
I mean, that's about as grueling as of a conference schedule as I've seen in a long time for any school, I think, in the Sun Belt. But I guess, you know, you guys have a three-headed monster right now. And I mean, is it kind of just – is it a mindset of hot hand? Whoever's got the hot hand, you just feed them? Or what have you kind of seen on how they're dealing with having
it's actually not a hot hand at all. I think I was reading today that, you know, you're talking, of course, about Trey Regis, Elijah Mitchell, and Raymond Colley, mm-hmm. and it's very systematic. Okay. You know, I don't think one of those guys has more than, like, 55 carries.
Yeah.
Is the most that one of those guys have. I think they're in between the 30 and 50 range on the season, and it's systematic, and that is, if, you know, you have to use one or two words to describe Billy Napier, it would be process and systematic. And, you know, you saw it a year ago when Levi Lewis, who's the starting quarterback now, coach said he's going to play every fourth series. Well, if every fourth series was, and this happened, hey, Levi, go take Anita in the half or in the game. That was the fourth series. He went in. And so it's very systematic. It's not necessarily the hot hand, and that's because they have faith and believe in all three of those guys. And, you know, there's even, by the way, there's more behind those guys.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a strength versus strength type thing. That was the same thing we talked about with Travis earlier in the show. You talked a little bit about Levi Lewis. What have you seen out of him, out of his development over the first four games? Are you pleased with where he's at right now, or what's kind of going on? Next question, or the last question, is you know, what is ULL, what do they have, what does Louisiana, excuse me, what does Louisiana have to do on Saturday in order to secure a win and get out of Paulson with a 1-0 record?
Well, so we talked about strength versus strength. 323 per game on the ground for Louisiana against 89 given up for Georgia Southern. One of those two things has to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so can the Cajuns do what they do on offense? If Levi Lewis has to make a play through the air, can he do that? But I think first things first, you go in, you know, you have your game plan, you establish the fact that you're going to run the football. Not that you want to run the football, but that you will run the football, I think is going to be the Cajuns' mindset, you know, heading into this one. And then as we just kind of talked about on the defensive side of the football, again, much easier said than done, but gap discipline,
mm-hmm.
eye discipline, assignment sound. That's got to be the recipe for success. And, you know, they're going to have to, you know, special teams from a place-kicking standpoint has been really, really shaky for Louisiana. You know, so when they get down into the red zone, they're going to have to score touchdowns and not settle for field goals.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, Cody Janot, thank you again for joining us for this, I guess, week five edition of Know Your Enemy. Obviously, good info. It's going to be really fun to watch the three-headed monster, I think, and heck, even as you say, it might be a four-headed monster, this weekend and against a really good run defense, as we've been talking about. So, once again, Cody, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Absolutely. Enjoy, guys.
You know, I think he hit the nail on the head, and we talked with both of them about it. It's strength versus strength this week.
Absolutely.
It's the strength of the Louisiana run game against the strength of the Georgia Southern run defense. To me, this is my opinion, but I think this is going to be a contender or pretender type deal is who's really you know, true to their stats, because, you know, we talked about Georgia Southern. They played an LSU team that's a lot different, that's not the typical running style LSU team, and they really, I mean, Minnesota was okay, but they really haven't played anybody to back up those stats, I think. And Louisiana, same way. Outside of Mississippi State, Ohio doesn't have the greatest run defense. Liberty and Texas Southern, I mean, come on. So I think we're really going to figure out whose strength is really a strength of the team this weekend.
And we'll dig more into those stats in a second. But first, before we get out of this, we need to throw some love back to Cody, our first repeat Know Your Enemy guest. Cody Juno with ESPN 1420 out of Lafayette. You can follow him on Twitter at CJuno, at CJUNOT. Follow him on Twitter for the best and latest Louisiana news. See, they both guys brought us some really great stats. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and break them down with our best bets.
Best bets.
You talk about all that information. I was
A whole lot of information.
But I was kind of hoping it would change my mind or something. And I mean, it kind of played right along the lines I thought it would. And this game's going to be very interesting, I think.
Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting to see if Shai Wertz is even healthy enough to play in this game. It's going to be really interesting to see if Georgia Southern's defense is their run defense, at least, because their pass defense ain't worth a nickel. And it's also going to be really interesting to see Louisiana play a team that they can, Georgia Southern can be physical. They have the players that can be physical. So if somebody punches somebody in the mouth early, it's going to be really interesting to see who kind of either responds or doesn't respond. And to me, I think Louisiana will respond. I think Georgia Southern does punch them in the mouth early, but I think the three-headed running back or three-headed monster at running back that they have is just too much. I think Trey Regis is going to have a really good game. And I like I said about pretender contender type thing, I think Louisiana is real. I think that running game is real. I don't think Georgia Southern's running game or run defense is real. I think that there's some skewed stats in there, and I just think too much Raging Cajuns in this one. And yes, it's on the road. Yes, Paulson Stadium's a tough place to play in. But I just think the Cajuns have got it this week.
Here's my key to the game. Here's my little X factor bonus. You said Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and say this. The fan vote says Georgia Southern 72%. Got a lot of Southern fans voting in this one. That's fine with me. Here's the X factor in this to me. Georgia Southern runs the ball. That's all they do. Mm-hmm. And they don't really throw the ball at all. Mm-hmm. They have three people with more rushing yards each than the one quarterback has throwing. Mm-hmm. Louisiana has this guy named Levi Lewis. He's thrown it for 815 yards. Mm-hmm. Thrown it for 815 yards. This offense, we talk about the three-headed monster. We talk about the run game because it is going to be a ground and pound, and it's going to be some big man, tough old football. Levi Lewis can throw the ball. Mm-hmm. Louisiana can throw the ball. That's the X factor. This is a balanced offense. And, yes, Georgia Southern's supposed to have a really decent pass defense. Have we seen that recently? No, not really. I got to go with ULL as well. Louisiana Cajuns take the win in Paulson Stadium.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm just going to go ULL. Like I said, ULL definitely, and I think ULL covers. It's only 3.5. I think ULL covers.
Well, I mean, if they win, they probably have to cover, but that's beside the point. Let's go to the other important game that we've talked about tonight. Let's talk about it. Logan Bonner is out. Arkansas State and Troy. Does it change your mind in any way as to who wins it straight up?
I don't think so.
See, it's really difficult to say because these teams are still pretty solid, and in their weaknesses, they're still pretty gaping in those weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, okay, so going in this morning when I woke up.
Wednesday morning, yeah.
Wednesday morning, before this news came out, this game, I had predicted this game being fireworks. I mean, just like a 50. I was really thinking like a 50-45 game. I mean, the over-under is like 60.5. They were going to blow that out the window. I mean, just the way these two – I mean, Ark State just gave up 500-something yards to Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
To Southern Illinois.
Southern Illinois.
Troy, their defense ain't much better. But Arkansas State gets to the quarterback with Bradley King.
Right.
Troy doesn't get to the quarterback.
And Foster Merrill.
And Foster Merrill. And so I just think and when we get the news about Bonner, you're on the road. If it's truly going to be Hatch, who's only a redshirt freshman – he gets maybe a day's worth of practice. Now, granted, we're not inside there. They could have known about this Saturday, Sunday night when they did testing maybe, and they've been practicing all week. But at best, he's got 3 days practice on a guy who hasn't been with the ones, who hasn't been repping the ones. I guarantee you it's going to be a scripted playbook for about the first three drives because there's only so much a redshirt freshman can do, and then you're on the road. So it's
not impossible.
It's not impossible for them. It actually did change my pick.
Oh, really?
Yes, it actually did. I was gonna go Arkansas State with a Logan Bonner because in a shootout, I think it was gonna be the same way. But without Logan Bonner, And we were talking about earlier, Logan Bonner reminded me a lot of Brandon Silvers. And that Brandon Silvers, just he didn't make a lot of mistakes. Yeah, he threw a pick every now and then. But he was, when he had plenty of time to sit back there and throw, he would pick people apart. And that's what I was predicting was going to happen. But when you don't have a guy like there back there, I think Troy's going to blitz. I think Troy's going to pressure the heck out of this kid. If they start the redshirt freshman, they're going to send a lot of blitzes at him and try to just get him moving. And so that being said, I'm going to give Troy – the volume's already like 6.5. I think the line moves up to like 10 at this point with this news. So I'm going to go Troy, and I do think they cover because I don't think Arkansas State's defense is that good.
I was going to say a lot of these things before we found out that Bonner was out. Mm-hmm. I was digging through some of this, and just the number – not even – it wasn't just the fact that Bonner was injured and was questionable. It's the fact that Murray was questionable. It's the fact that the number two running back is out. And, yeah, Dahu Green is not a big deal because they've got the other wide receivers that step up. But I was thinking it was going to sneaky be a cover game for Troy. Troy covering that spread even more than what it was. But now with Bonner out, yes, that quarterback's going to be talented, but you're absolutely right. The best way to make Arkansas State make mistakes is to blitz a freshman quarterback and get him off the edge. Get him on the edge. Mm-hmm. Get him just off. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
The problem with that is if he can make plays happen, if he can get out and actually do things, mm-hmm. then that'll be an issue for Troy. But, again, this offense with Troy has enough firepower to keep up with nearly anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Kept up with Southern Miss. It blew Akron out of the water, and I think it can keep up with anything Arkansas State can throw at him.
Yeah, I mean, and you were talking about injuries. Normally, when you lose a guy like Logan Bonner, now, let me just make this clear, everybody. He had over 1,000 yards passing already this season.
Already.
Already. And they haven't really had to rely on the run game. And Marcel Murray is not 100%. Most of the time when you lose your quarterback, you kind of turn to your running game. They lost their backup running back. Now, granted, Troy's lost B.J. Smith, but Marcel Murray isn't 100%. That's just – it's bad.
Right.
And so where do you turn to? Like, that's the biggest question for Arkansas State this week. And they do have a guy like Omar Bayless who right now is just – I mean – just crushing it in the Sun Belt right now. I mean, he's got almost 500 yards receiving in their, four games? So and he was on Biletnikoff Award. He was added to list. That's how good of his play is. So how are they going to get him the ball? That's the biggest thing. And you really don't know now. I mean, when you have a red – if indeed it's going to be this redshirt freshman. So I think Troy needs to tee off on blitzes on – I mean, the first 5-6 series, you got to live in that backfield. And if you get him rattled early, it's going to be a rough game for Ark State. So
you got Troy.
I got Troy.
Fans got Troy 76%. I got Troy as well. Let's keep this in mind. Omar Bayless is 1-for-2 passing. The wide receiver is 1-for-2 passing.
Are they
going to
put him in there?
If you talk about needing to get him the ball, they will find a way. Now, let's go down south to ULM. They're hosting South Alabama. I don't know how much there is to say about this game. Fan vote is ULM 75%. I got to agree with them. South Alabama just doesn't look good this year, and that's weird because, to me, this team has progressed. The offensive line is better. The defensive line is better. They've shown so much potential in that Nebraska game, but it's kind of floundered against these superior opponents.
Yeah, I think you kind of said it right there. They showed a lot in Nebraska, and then they played a bad Jackson State team, but they've just played two good – they played a really, really good – group of five team, and they played a decent group of five team in UAB. UAB is not a world beater. I mean, we talked about that. That was our game of the week last week. And they just looked outclassed against UAB the entire time. I mean, UAB was able to throw all over him. The quarterback had 300 yards passing. I mean, they were just outclassed against UAB. Their defense is not what it once was. Even under Joey Jones, their defense looked better. And just their offense – it's just dismal right now. I mean, they can't figure out who's a starting quarterback, I think. I mean, Cephas Johnson, yeah, he's probably getting more reps with the ones, but they cannot – like, he's only got 400 yards passing right now.
Through four games.
He has more interceptions than touchdowns right now through four games. And even Trey Minner, that we had a lot of talk about Trey Minner's got way too much stuff. I think he's got the whole offense on his shoulders right now, and he can only do so much.
You don't know about him, do you? You don't know what happened. He's still out?
Oh, he's got a concussion, yeah.
Yeah, he's still out for concussion?
He played at UAB, if I remember right.
Okay.
But on the other side, I know we're trying to roll quick here, but on the other side, ULM just got blown out by 52 points against Iowa State.
Oh yeah, we got to mention that.
72-20. I mean, that's a you talk about scoring pretty much any way possible. That's what Iowa State did to ULM. Caleb Evans, this is kind of a little hot take. For me, I thought Caleb Evans was going to be a lot better this year. Caleb Evans has underperformed this year. Every game he's underperformed. Even that Florida State game, he underperformed. But I think just by his sheer talent alone, I think ULM gets the job done. This is a huge game for South, but I think ULM gets the job done. And it's a 16-point spread. I'm going to say ULM covers as well.
I'm going to have to go with you on that. I know I already said it, but you're right. Caleb Evans has got to figure it out. In his defense, he doesn't have the weapons that he had last year. He doesn't have Marcus Green like he did last year. So let's move forward. Let's go out to the Carolinas. And what is interestingly enough, the battle of the two best teams in the conference right now, undefeated App State and a 3-1 Coastal Carolina. I'm going to go ahead and give you my hot take. It's not really a hot take at this point. Coastal Carolina, I think they're going to make a bowl game this year.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to pull them out, pick them out right now, circle it, dot it, whatever you got to do. Coastal Carolina is going to a bowl game this year, and they're not going to win. App State, the fan vote's 91-9. I got App State too. App State's just hard to beat. There's a chance they go undefeated. They could go 11-1 and make this an NY6 game. The sky's the limit for them right now after this North Carolina win, but I'm high on Coastal Carolina this year.
I had Coastal winning 4 games this entire season. They're at 3 already. So they are surpassing a lot of people's expectations already this season. I think beating Kansas was a big deal. They routed UMass. I mean, they had a great game against UMass. CJ Marable, he's second in the conference right now behind Trey Regis. This is a really good game between the running backs. Darrington Evans, 411 yards. CJ Marable, just under 400 at 398. Evans comes in with 7 touchdowns. Marable with 4 touchdowns. This is going to be a really fun game to watch because these teams are, like, at least in the past, have all been about running the ball, either from the quarterback position, which we talked about as your hustle award, or from the running back position. They expect to get 200 yards on the ground every game. That's their plateau. They think they should be at 200 yards every game. And so I think this is another kind of strength versus strength, but I think it's a strength in just the running games. And it's going to be really interesting to see which defense can stop the running game here. And for me, I think App State does it. I think App State just has the better athletes at this point. It's also in Boone, North Carolina. But no, I think App State gets it done. Spread 16. You know what? I'm going to say it's going to be a tight game. I don't think App covers. I think it's maybe a...
You think Coastal comes in and punches them in the mouth?
I think they do.
I think it's possible.
They got a lot riding around them right now, and this there's a lot of momentum in that Coastal Carolina program.
Keep an eye on this game. I honestly, if I had hindsight and if we didn't pick these games ahead of time, there's a chance that we came into this game and decided to pick it instead of Louisiana, Georgia Southern. You called it a strength versus strength game. I agree with you, but I think these two teams are a little bit more balanced than that, and I like your pick of Coastal Carolina punching them in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Let's go a little bit further south to Texas. Nichols at Texas State. Fan vote says Texas State 96-4, but what does the line say?
Well, let me tell you something. If you don't even pick up any stat book, and you don't even look at the game summary for this game preview, you're going to think Nichols State, that's FCS. Texas State, that's FBS. Texas State, been in the Sun Belt for, 4 or 5 years now. You would think, okay, Texas State, they're coming off one against Georgia State. This should be a no-brainer. Well, first of all, the line, Texas State's an underdog at home to an FCS school.
Hey, Byron, London.
He's going to have like another, 25-tackle game.
Yeah, you're going to need to show up.
We aren't Texas State people, but I did some research in this game, and Nichols State leads the series 16-14.
Really?
Yeah, this actually used to be an old Southland Conference battle. And back when Texas State was Southwest Texas State, they used to play a lot. Well, they haven't played since 2011. Here's the reason why. The head coach back in 2011, Nichols head coach and offensive guru Charlie Stubbs brought controversy to the rivalry in 2011 when he refused to bring, they play for a paddle. He refused to bring the Paddle Trophy to San Marcos due to Texas State having a scholarship advantage as an FCS transitional school, stating, "We ain't bringing that damn thing here, no matter what happened." Texas State won the battle for the paddle 38-12 and never got the paddle. So it's been 8 years since the last game. They kind of reignited it. Who knows if they'll bring the paddle? But the battle for the paddle, I like the battle for the belt, but the battle for the paddle, that just rolls off the tongue.
It is. That's so good.
But you know, this is a Jake Spavital, I think, has a really good team. Not a good team. Jake Spavital is starting to build a team. And I think we saw a little bit of Jake Spavital in last weekend's win, which was a gritty win. And I think we see a little bit of him in the team now. They're kind of getting some sort of a identity with him as their head coach. And Nicholls State, I mean, they played Prairie View A&M, won by a touchdown. They got blown out by Kansas State 49-14, and they barely beat Stephen F. Austin 48-30 coming in this game. I think Texas State's defense, which hasn't been as stingy as it has been in the past, I think they finally get to tee off this weekend, and I'm going to pick Texas State and to win, which means they're going to cover this game. I think Texas State covers and wins this ballgame.
You know what?
Do it.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. They're up the Rio without a paddle. Not so nice. Fast.
Nice.
I'm a Steely Corso, and I'm going to steal that trophy. And I think Nicholls State's going to go in there and steal a win out of San Marcos. Georgia State came into this season thinking they weren't going to do so hot. They beat Tennessee, and then they lost to Texas State. Weirder things have obviously happened with a team associated with this team.
They don't call it hashtag fun belt for no reason.
You right about that. I just cannot get over the fact that Texas State's an underdog in this. And that's too much for me. I know Texas State's going to be against the wall. I know Texas State is going to step in there and say, we got to win this. This is ridiculous. Why are people betting against us? You know, I'm going to go with the underdog here. Nicholls State, come on, show me some chaos. I want to see it. I'm going to pick it. Why not? Worst things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I'm shocked that they're a 3.5-point favorite on the road as an FCS school.
They probably have it wrong. It's probably like a glitch in the system that's got it backwards.
I'm just reading what ESPN's saying. So, and even if it's the other way, I mean, you're only a 3.5-point favorite over an FCS school. Like, oh my God.
That's a little scary. What was the percentage of the...
Oh, for the FBI?
Yeah.
25.
25. I like it. I like it
right
a lot.
In the market, so.
Let's stay in Texas for our out-of-conference game.
Oh, yeah.
Houston and North Texas.
Well, we know a little about North Texas.
We do.
I think they still have Mason Fine on
their
team, correct?
As far as I know.
Sweet helmets last week that I saw. It was I think their jerseys. No, that was SMU. Their jerseys just said Dallas.
Yeah, SMU said Dallas.
Dallas.
You know, Houston still has Derek King.
Derek King. No, they don't. Derek King. You didn't hear about the news?
Did I not?
Derek King has he's going to sit out for the rest of the year.
I could have sworn that he was actually coming back.
He's staying at Houston, but he's going to sit out for the rest of the season.
Why?
If I'm correct. But while you're trying to find that, Mason Fine still is Mason Fine. And Mason Fine is still throwing the ball all over creation. He has 940 yards for 9 touchdowns. He does have a couple of interceptions. But that kid, I think he's a senior right now or a redshirt junior. He's still as good as what he was 2 years ago when Troy played him. North Texas, 7.5-point favorite. They're at home. I think is Derek King not playing?
Correct.
Correct. Okay, so without Derek King, this is a totally different Houston team. Baller move, by the way. The kid went and broke Tim Tebow's FBS record of 15 straight games with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. Played 4 games in this season, and then decided, I'm going to put the cleats up because I don't want to get hurt again, and I'm going to kind of explore my options. But then he came back and said, I'm going to stay at Houston. There's probably going to be a couple more guys that come out and do the same thing at Houston. I think that's a Dana Holgorsen thing. I think there might be some animosity in that locker room, and which wouldn't surprise me because Dana Holgorsen has had his problems at other places as well.
We can name drop. We can say that West Virginia fans were not a big fan of Dana Holgorsen.
Really
I know that in my experience in interacting with them online, mm-hmm. talking about Neil Brown, mm-hmm. they are so much happier to have Neil Brown than to have Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's something going on there. But the guy played four games. Said, "Man, I can still get a red shirt. Haven't taken one yet. I'll sit out this season."
Why not? So here's what I'm going to do. The fan vote says Houston 62. What do you say?
North Texas.
No doubt.
Yeah, but Derek King's not playing. It's Mason Fine time.
Well, dang, because that's who I was going to go with.
Well, we already did the flip on Nichols State in Louisiana, right?
Yeah, Nichols State and Texas State.
Is that our
yeah, but see, I don't want to know. I want a little bit of diversity. I really do think, and this is legit. This isn't just me trying to pander. Okay. Houston still has the rest of that team there. They still have all those weapons. Yes, Derek King is a playmaker at heart, but I got to go with the rest of the team saying, we don't need you. We can rally around you. We can do other things. I like North Texas. It's going to be a shootout probably. But
yeah, the over-under is 58.5, so that's about 30-something points a team. Points
also, I am going to say I wanted us to be different in more than just one pick. I was really on the fence about Georgia Southern and Louisiana, but in the end, I'm going to stick with Louisiana. We only differed on those two at the end there with Texas State in the Texas schools.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Good stuff. Great episode. Thank you to Cody.
Who beat us last week?
We didn't even talk about that.
I think we had a four-way tie last week.
Who ended up winning, Utah State or San Diego State?
Utah State won. 23-7.
Utah State won. So we had two people beat us, Taylor Glass and Jordan Kendrick.
Oh, no.
Taylor Glass
went what?
Undefeated.
Really?
7-0. They picked UAB, App State, Coastal, Louisiana, Troy, Texas State, and Utah State.
Wow. Second undefeated week for somebody.
After Ryan Pugh. If you want to update on him, he went 3-4.
We've got some smart listeners out there.
We do.
Well, yeah, obviously, if you haven't already, do we have the pick 'em sheet up yet?
At this point today, on a Thursday, yes, we have them up.
The pick 'em sheets are up. So go fill out your pick 'em sheets. Obviously, if you haven't participated in our Twitter poll yet, it's basically just bragging rights at this point. So go get a vote for one of your teams. We got seven games this week again.
Yep.
Or six games, however many.
Six.
Six games. So, yeah, go follow us on Twitter.
At the OG Bench Boys. We're also on Facebook, working on Instagram. You can find us anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple, iTunes, Google Play, Luminary, Stitcher, wherever. Oh. We're everywhere. if you want us to be on NPR, well, I'll have to figure out a way to make that happen. But, you know, it's a thing. iHeartRadio, we're there.
We could have a show on all the platforms that we're on at this
point. Really, we could. So here's the deal. Hit that subscribe button. And you know what you need to do next week?
Come on back.